The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on May 2nd, 1988 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 14, Text 81 through 90.
Another duel took place between Shivas Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit, and yet another between Raghava Pandit and Vakeshwar Pandit. Thus they all engaged in throwing water. Sarvabhoma Sange Kele Ravanandarai Gambhir Jagelo Doharo Hiro Sishupai. Indeed, Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya engaged in water sports with Sri Ramananda Rai, and they both lost their gravity and became like children. Mahaprabhu Sadoha Chanchala Dekhiya Gopinath Acharya Kichu Kohin Hasiya. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the exuberance of Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai, he smiled and spoke to Gopinath Acharya. Pundita Gumbi Duhe Pramanika Jan Bal Chanchalo Kore Koraho Barjan. Tell Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai to stop their childish play, because they are both learned scholars and very grave and great personalities. Gopinath kohe tumar kripa mohisin mohasindhu uchalito kore jobe tara akabindu. Gopinath Acharya replied, I believe that one drop of the ocean of your great mercy has swelled up upon them. Meru mandra parvat dubai jasa tasa edvi gandha soilo ihara makasa. A drop from the ocean of your mercy can drown great mountains like Sumeru and Mandara. Since these two gentlemen are like little hills by comparison, there is no wonder that they are being drowned in the ocean of your mercy. Shukhtarko kuli kaite janma gelo jar tare dilamito piyao akati patuma. Logic is like a dry oil cake from which all the oil has been extracted. Bhattacharya passed his life in eating such dry cakes, but now you have made him drink the nectar of transcendental pastimes. It is certainly your great mercy upon them. Hasi Mahaprabhu tobe abete anilo jolera upare tare sesha sajja koilo. After Gopinath Acharya finished talking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and called for Advaita Acharya, made him act like the sesha naga bed. Seshanaga bed is the snake form of the Lord on which Mahavishnu lies in the ocean, the causal ocean. Apone taha upar korilo soyan seshashai lila prabhu koilo prakartan. Lying down on Advaita Prabhu, who was floating on the water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated the pastime of seshashai Vishnu. Adaita nija shakti prakata koriya Mahaprabhu loya bhule jala jalete bashiya. Manifesting his personal potency, Advaita Acharya floated about on the water carrying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. E mato jal kriya kori kokokan aito taila prabhu loya bhaktogan. After sporting in the water for some time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his place at Aitota, accompanied by his devotees. Puri Bharati Adi Jatamukha Bhaktogan Acharya Rani Manchane Kori Rabhojan. Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, and all other chief devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took lunch at the invitation of Advaita Acharya. Bani Nata Jato Prasada Milo Mahaprabhu Gane Se Prasada Kailo. Whatever extra prasad was brought by Bani Nath Rai was taken by the other associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Aparani Asi Kailo Darshana Nartana Nisati Udhyani Asi Kodila Soyan. In the afternoon, the Lord went to the Gundicha temple to visit the Lord, and then at night he went to the garden to take rest. Ardinasi Kailo Ishara Darshan Prangani Nitya Gita Kailo Kotokan. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also went to the temple of Gundicha and saw the Lord. He then chanted and danced in the yard for some time. Bhaktagana Sange Prabhu Dhyane Asiya Vrindavana Bihara Kore Bhaktagana Loya. Accompanied by his devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went into the garden and enjoyed the pastimes of Vrindavan. Report. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that this Vrindavana Vihara, the pastimes of Vrindavana, does not refer to Krishna's mixing with the gopis or the transcendental mellow of Parakiya Rasa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Vrindavan Leela in the garden of Jagannath Puri did not involve association with women or other people's wives in the fashion transcendentally demonstrated by Sri Krishna. In his Vrindavan Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conceived of himself as the assistant of Srimati Radharani. When Srimati Radharani enjoyed the company of Krishna, her maidservants were very pleased. One should not compare Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Vrindavan Bihar in the garden of Jagannath with the activities of the Gauranga Nagaris. Gauranga Nagaris are one form of Upper Sampradaya. This is a deviant disciplic succession, and they do such illicit activities. And some perverse name of spiritual life. Upper Sampradaya is something which appears to have some basis in Shastra, have some basis in the Sampradaya, but actually it's a deviant. They've introduced some material conceptions. There's upper dharma, chola dharma. Chola dharma means this is totally cheating. Like there's some people that are just simply doing it totally for money. Upper sampradaya is not like that. They're just totally bewildered and they're doing something concocted. They think they're right. They think they're doing spiritual life, but it's actually, they got deviated. Chola means it's a cheating. They're just putting on a show. Then there's adharma. This is totally against religious principles. Just directly, irreligion. So all these various kinds of apadharma, upadharma, chola dharma, adharma, all these things are eradicated by the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to establish proper dharma, proper duty of a living entity. So Lord Chaitanya, his own mood was of trying to please Krishna, mood of serving Krishna, being an assistant to Radharani, as mentioned here. Actually, it's important to know that the devotional service of the gopis is not even tinged slightly by any personal desire for sense gratification. Just as here explains that the gopis were very pleased, they were very happy when Krishna and Radharani were together. In fact, Sri Nectar of Devotion explains that the gopis are more pleased when Krishna and Radharani are united than when Krishna personally meets them. Sometimes Radharani arranges that Krishna meets one of the gopis, and the gopis are compelled to serve Krishna directly. But the gopis are not so happy when that happens as when they're able to bring Radharani to Krishna. And Radharani is more happy when she can bring Krishna with the other gopis. So, in this way, there's a totally service attitude. There's no, not even the slightest tinge of personal sense gratification. There's no comparison in the material world that one can refer to which would perfectly demonstrate this kind of a mood. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his enjoying Vrindavan pastime, this is by bhav. This is by his meditation. This is by his own thoughts. In other words, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, hearing the pastimes of the Lord, remembering the pastimes of the Lord, engaging in service to the Lord, chanting the holy names, glorifying the Lord in his pastimes, these are the predominant means of Lord Chaitanya participating in Lord Krishna's pastime. Of course, Lord Chaitanya sometime would directly come into very internal consciousness and just enter into the pastime. But that was not, it was less frequent, shall we say. But Lord Chaitanya was demonstrating that although Krishna was present 5,000 years ago, and some devotees could directly participate in those pastimes, and although we're in the Kali Yuga, thousands and thousands of years after Krishna has left the world, we can participate in the same transcendental pastimes by remembering, by chanting, by hearing. Nam Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Krishna's names are in themselves fully cognizant, fully spiritually potent. Rasa Vigraha, they're the form of transcendental mellow. Just as we sing Chai Radha Madhava Kuncha Bihari Gopi Jana Bhalava Giri Bharidari. Actually, these are nothing but names of Krishna. Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Bhalava, Jamuna Tira Bonachari. These are actually names of Krishna. The names of Krishna referring to different aspects of Krishna participating in different pastimes. Just by remembering those names, the names themselves are filled with nectar, rasa vigraha. Nectarian pastimes of Krishna can be remembered, can be experienced just by saying the name. Although we're here in the Kali Yuga and Krishna would seemingly be far, far away, simply by just repeating the name of Krishna, immediately one's consciousness can be transported to that pastime, and through meditation on that name, one can experience some of the nectar, even a drop of that nectar if we experience it. Maybe not the whole nectar. The capacity we may not have, also the whole nectar is an ocean. But even if we taste one drop, as Gopinath Acharya told Lord Chaitanya, one drop of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's nectar, ocean of nectar, is enough to, what to speak of flood, just ordinary person, it can flood even the great mountains higher than the Himalayas, like Sumeru and Mandara. So, as we perform our devotional service, as we preach Krishna consciousness, as we serve the disciplic succession, always aspiring for the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of Nitai Gaurachandra, by their mercy, sometimes we can get a drop of that nectar. If we get a drop of that nectar, then that more than fills the heart. Just like Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, here it depicts that they're playing like almost like children in the water. Playing, splashing each other. Lord Chaitanya, when he told Gopinath Acharya, tell them to stop, they're really great people, why are they being so frivolous? He's actually saying that humorously. Lord Chaitanya was internally very happy. Actually, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very dry. It gives example, he was dry like an oil cake with the oil taken out of it. This is like a mustard or a sesame seed or a different type of oil seed. They crush the seeds and squeeze out all the oil. After they crush the seeds, what's left is called the oil cake. But they're so dry and hard, it's just like a piece of bark. They soak it and feed it to cows, oil cake. There's no, I mean, they take every bit of oil they can, they squeeze it out, they somehow chemically remove it, whatever way they can, they take it out. Then what's left, if you try to measure how much oil, must be some oil is still there. You can't get all of it. But it's very dry, very hard. So, certainly by discussing the impersonal philosophy, there's some juice there. But that juice is compared to the dry oil cake. And the nectar of Krishna consciousness is compared to like the ocean of nectar. So this Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was so dry, who was this mental speculator, after he got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he became so blissful that even in playing, even though he's 67 years old, sometimes he became so blissful, he's just splashing water at Ramananda Rai, thinking of the pastimes in Vrindavan, how all the devotees there used to splash water with Krishna, the cowherd boy. Ramananda Rai himself, he was the governor of the whole country. It was subjugated under this Pratapudra, the emperor of Orissa, Utkal. Such a great person, governor, he's there splashing water with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. In other words, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, everyone's heart can become melted. Prabhupada explains that actually our heart in material life is very hard like a stone. And it's covered by so many layers of dirt. Layers and layers, birth after birth. Chetadarapunamajanam, Mahadavagnirvapunam. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, this wipes away the dirt from the heart. The heart is generally very hard. If someone is attracted to the impersonal philosophy, that tends to purify the heart in some way, very gradually. Then it is compared, the heart becomes like gold. But gold is also cold and hard, albeit it's pure. So that the devotees, their heart becomes pure like pure clarified ghee, pure clarified butter, so that it very easily melts. It's also completely pure. But with a little slight remembrance of Krishna, a slight engagement in devotional service and chanting the nectarian names of Krishna, then the heart melts. The consciousness is immediately attracted to Krishna. Dharma sanu sita pungshang vishwakshena kata sujat natpadya jati datim sama eva hi kevalam. Their consciousness is directly attracted to Krishna, spontaneously. Until our consciousness is attracted to Krishna, if we're just going on doing some form of meditation or some kind of so-called spiritual process, then it's considered ultimately expenditure of energy, not a real utilization of our time, no fruit is actually gained by that. Because we're not transported out of the material world. Even the liberation which is achieved by the impersonalist is not a permanent liberation. Again, they come back down into the material world. Unless one has an attraction for devotional service, how can he go to the spiritual world? In the spiritual world, there is nothing but devotional service. And if one has an attraction for devotional service, then at the time of death, where else can one go except the spiritual world? What other suitable place would there be if that is one's attraction? So developing attraction for devotional service is actually the most essential part of devotional service. To develop that attraction to hear the message of Krishna is what polarizes us so that we can be attracted by the magnet of Krishna back to the spiritual world. So here, Lord Chaitanya is happy to see Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was a very grave person, who was, however, very hard-hearted, mental speculator. Now he is just enjoying Krishna's pastimes, having water sports in Krishna's Jagannath garden. Actually, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was Brihaspati. Brihaspati, when he heard Krishna was coming in the Kali Yuga as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he decided, let me come down and participate in Lord Chaitanya's pastime. So he took birth actually in Navadip, knowing Lord Chaitanya would take birth only in Navadip. He himself appeared in Navadip, 100 yards behind the place where Lord Chaitanya went to school. He knew he could anticipate. See, once you take birth in the material world, once you come down on this planet, you're conditioned and you have to submit to the various and conditionings of the particular body you're in. So to participate in Krishna's pastimes and take birth here, they also get totally overwhelmed by, it's not like they may remember what's going on. Once they take part in that pastime, they're locked in. They won't remember until after they leave their body that who they were. in most cases, unless Krishna, unless Lord Chaitanya reveals to him. So he came down. At that time, he came before Lord Chaitanya. Before Lord Chaitanya, Navadvip was the place of Mayavadis, Smartas, mental speculators, dry religionists. It wasn't a place of devotees. Very few devotees, Srivas, Advaita. They're being persecuted. They're being by the general people. India was very religious, no doubt. People were going there to study Sanskrit culture. But their use of that was to achieve liberation from the material world, to get mystic powers, to worship demigods, to get some material benefit. Very few were actually using the Vedic literature to actually achieve bhakti or pure devotion. This was an unfortunate environment. But this environment also disturbed Advaita Goswami and other Vaishnavas so much that they prayed for Krishna to come down and to deliver the people, to bring devotional service into the world again in its full form. So, of course, Lord Chaitanya did that, but this was far before to be Lord Chaitanya's teacher. Vihaspati is the guru of the demigods. He wanted to teach Lord Chaitanya. So he came down simply to teach Lord Chaitanya, took appearance where Lord Chaitanya would go to school. But then in that environment, he became himself contaminated by Mayavad. And he became himself a Mayavadi philosopher. So he totally forgot what he came for, and he went off to Jagannath Puri and was teaching sannyasis, Mayavadi philosophy of Shankaracharya. So when Lord Chaitanya went to the place to go to school, just right next to the birthplace of Sarvabhaumacharya, he was no longer there. He'd already got deviated, waylaid by Maya. Instead, Gangadas, Pandit, became the teacher of Lord Chaitanya. Sarvabhaumacharya, of course, Lord Chaitanya, anyway, went to deliver him. His plan of going ahead of Nityananda and others so that he would be alone, and that this way Sarvabhaumacharya would pick him up and bring him to his house. How could all this be outside of Lord Chaitanya's plan? Lord Chaitanya's plan was to pick up Vihaspati and deliver him. So he accepted, all right, I'll take instruction from you. And for 7 days he just sat and listened while Sarvabhaumacharya lectured to him on how we are all God, everyone is God, it's all one. The whole Mayavadi philosophy, we're covered by illusion. When the illusion clears away, then we realize we are God. Pretty clear. So he asked Lord Chaitanya, do you understand? You're not asking any question. You just sit there. Why don't you ask any question? Can you understand what I'm saying? He said, I can understand all the Sanskrit verses of Vedanta Sutta you're saying, but all the explanations I can't understand at all. He said, what's that? You can understand the Sanskrit verses, but you can't understand the explanation which is supposed to make the verses more easily understandable. So he's joking with me. He could pick up that actually Lord Chaitanya is just jabbing me. So he said, well, how is it possible? It's more difficult to understand the verses than the explanation. So what's your understanding of the verses then? So then Lord Chaitanya explained Vaishnava philosophy, the Janma Adyasayataha. Everything is coming from the Supreme Absolute. Because everything is coming from the Absolute, that means that whatever we see in this world, it's nothing but a product or a transformation of the energy of the Absolute Truth. If it exists here, it must exist there. If there's form and variety here, there must be form and variety in the Absolute world. But he's saying that Absolute Truth is without form, without variety. And all the variety has come from the nothingness. How can all the variety come from nothingness? If there's no free will, if there's no intelligence, if there's no variety, how does it logically come that all the material world where people have free will, there's so much variety, all these things could come from the Absolute Truth, which is void of all these things, which is devoid of all these things? How can something come from an origin which does not possess that capacity or quality? Why would Absolute Truth without any variety or quality suddenly create? Then it must have volition and free will, although how all these things came about? It's actually totally illogical that this ultimate truth is impersonal. But there is, although, this is an unusual thing, although the Mayavadis stress that they're gyanis, they are experts in logic and argument, their thesis is totally illogical. But somehow they short circuit and they're not able to see beyond their own logic. Because they're using another form of, they're using the logic that everything in this world is temporary and it all has form. Therefore, the absolute truth must not have any form. And by giving a twisted interpretation of the Vedanta Sutra, although it says, Janmadhyasayasaha, everything is coming from the absolute truth. It's not coming from here. It's not that here is Maya, therefore we take the opposite, that's the absolute truth. Maya must have also come from absolute truth. What is the absolute truth? How do we understand Janmadhyasayasaha? How do we understand that by speculation? It's an atata brahmajigyasa. You must ask, you must inquire from the absolute truth, from the disciplic succession. What is the nature of the absolute truth? You won't understand by speculation. You have to hear from the absolute authority. That is the Brahma Jigyasa. Now ask, Jigyasa, to ask about Brahma. From who? Not from the people on the street, but from the representatives of the absolute truth, from the Lord himself. Hear from the Lord. Krishna is saying, I am the origin of all the material and spiritual worlds. It's not, it may sometimes people say, well, it's illogical. They say, how do you know God exists? They say, well, the scriptures say so. Where are the scriptures from? They come from God. They say, well, see, that's illogical. I read one book on style of writing, and they said it's an argument of inverted logic, inverted argument. But actually, it's not that inverted if you think, in this sense. So how do you know that Ronald Reagan exists? You know, Ronald Reagan says, I exist, I'm here. How do you know that Balabhadra Prabhu is here? Balabhadra Prabhu, are you here? See, that's evident. How do you know that Krishna existed? How do you know he exists? He was like, I exist. Aham sarvasya phalabho. Things are coming from me. It's not that illogical that God came and said, look it, here I am. I exist. Believe me, I'm here. And Arjuna said, how do I know? I mean, I believe you. Why does everyone in the mouth believe you? You're just standing here, two arms, two legs, head. You're saying everything is coming from you, all the universes. I believe you, but maybe everyone else won't. How can you demonstrate that? No problem. Here's my universal form. Everything, you see, everything is coming from Krishna. Oh. All right, that's enough. All right, enough. Come back to your normal, this other beautiful form. Okay, then Krishna comes back, four-arm form, two-arm form. Actually, Bhagavad Gita is giving the strongest argument. The Lord himself came. He told everything about himself. Yes, I exist. This is what I do. This is how I created it. This is how the material world is set up. These are the laws, the goodness, passion, ignorance, law of karma, reincarnation, everything. And yes, I create everything here. And also in the spiritual world, it's not dependent on any other energy. It doesn't need sunlight, moonlight, electricity. It's self-illuminated. Once you go there, you never come back. He gives so many very nice explanation. What is this material world? Who are the demigods? What are the processes of yoga? How to achieve absolute realization? What's the best? What's the comparative study between the different ones? So nicely, beautifully arranged. It's actually not an inverted argument. It's very direct, very positive. How do you know Krishna? Was there Krishna everywhere? Krishna's birthplace is still there. Vrindavan is there. Kurukshetra is there. Why do all the great say, why do all, you see, lie? He showed the universal form. Nobody denies that he showed the universal form. Even the impersonalists, they all accept, yes, Krishna showed the universal form. All the acharyas, all who were present, thousands of people witnessed that were there on the battlefield. So this way, somehow the impersonalists, their brain gets short-circuited. I was once preaching to one Mayavadi. He used to every morning go in his room naked and sit and meditate for a couple hours in the midnight or something. Kind of lion's deer, what do you call it? Either a deer skin or a tiger skin, I forget which one of the skins. And I explained, you know, about Krishna conscious philosophy. Even the last verse in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Brahmano Patishtaham, right, the basis of the impersonal Brahman. He was shocked. How could it be? My whole life I've been thinking there's nothing beyond the impersonal Brahman. He like, I have to think about this. It's a big shock for me. So next day I came back, and bang, he was very happy again. It's all right. Now I'm quite happy. Oh, now you understood what I said. No. I called up my friend at the university, one Bhogananda Yogi Siddhanta Swamiji, and he told me that, no, Brahmano Pratishtham means the four-headed Brahma. I'm the origin of four-headed Brahma. You know, he's just like completely lump-headed. Very intellectual, very, but when it comes to the point of going beyond the impersonal, there somewhere they just short circuit. They've heard it drummed into them so many times that this is personality, this is quality, absolute truth must be without quality. That's just like, that is somehow short circuit. So then it's very hard for them to understand. Although if you just, a neutral person, if you just with objective understand that this world is a product of the spiritual world. That is what the Vedanta Sutra means. The absolute truth is the origin of this. So whatever exists here, it's all coming from the absolute truth. That means absolute truth must also have quality, must also have personality. And directly the Bhagavatam explains, Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti sabhyate. That the absolute truth, vadanti tatvam vidam yajganam tatvanagrayam. It's undivided absolute truth realized as the impersonal Brahman, the localized super soul in the heart, and as the Bhagavan personality of Godhead. With all paraphernalia, qualities, associates, sangapangas to parashadam. However, it takes some mercy to be able to understand that these impersonalists, that Mayavada, even by this discussion, he couldn't understand, but by doing devotional service. So he just engaged him in devotional service. By doing service for some time, he became purified. And one day he started saying, you know what, I'm starting to understand these books for Alpha Road, actually. It took a long time, though. It's a very great mercy if someone can understand the Krishna conscious philosophy. Sometimes you explain to people, but they just don't pick it up. They even read the book, it doesn't register. By taking Krishna prasadam, by taking the holy name of Krishna, by doing some devotional service, people build up their spiritual capacity to comprehend, to realize, to understand the Krishna conscious philosophy. Or in the case of Sarabhava Acharya, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he just gave him the mercy like that, so he could understand Krishna consciousness. After understanding Sarabhava Acharya, he personally led the Sankirtan parties in Jagannath Puri. He personally took them out sometimes. The people were shocked. What's going on? Sarabhava Bhattacharya is so dry, big pundit, very, just, you know, very just formal kind of person, come up, just defeat people by logic, like the head of the department in the university, kind of just, but a very stiff. Here he's chanting Hare Krishna on the street. He's a senior pundit of the whole, the top intellectual of the kingdom. There he's chanting Hare Krishna with his hands in the air on the street. People are amazed. What is going on? What happened to him? Did he lose his sense? No. He gained his sense. He didn't lose his knowledge. He could understand how the impersonal world fits in. And over that, the real nectar of the Param Brahma, the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, his pastimes, everything, he could understand the transcendental nature of all of these pastimes. In fact, Lord Chaitanya wanted to test him, so he came to Sarabhava Bhattacharya. Lord Chaitanya went to Mangalarti early, got the Mahaprasad from the Mangalarti, some cashews. In Jagannath Puri, they grow cashews. They have many cashew trees. I have a disciple that sometimes gives me 10 kilos of cashews for the deities from Orissa. In Jagannath Puri, they only offer what they grow in Jagannath Puri. They don't offer tomatoes because it wasn't originally grown thousands of years ago in Jagannath Puri. Whatever was originally from there, that's the only offer. Very strict like that. So cashews they offer if it grows there. Mangoes, other things. So they brought the cashews, they gave to Mahaprasad to Lord Chaitanya. He took those cashews and went to see Sarabhama Bhattacharya. That morning Sarabhama Bhattacharya didn't make it to Mangalarti. He caught him in bed. He just sat up on his bed. He's still just sitting right in his bed. He hadn't washed his mouth or anything. Lord Chaitanya came right up and said, here's Mahaprasad from Lord Jagannath. What could he do? He accepted Immediately he ate. So how are you eating? You didn't brush your mouth. You didn't take bath. You're just sitting on your bed and you're eating for shadow. How are you doing that? Sarabhava quoted a Sanskrit verse. He's a great pundit. Whenever you get prasada, praptam, as soon as you see, you get the mahaprasadam, praptam eva, as soon as you get mahaprasad, you have to immediately take it. Before he never did that, he was all into rules and regulations because of prasad. You know. Oh yeah, we know that, but you see, they were into the impersonal. Now he's become so devoted that alright, this is a higher rule. If I get prasad, even if my mouth isn't clean, but prasad is pure, let me take it. The Lord Chaitanya was very pleased. He said, so, now you have become so devoted. In this way, Sarabhauma Bhattacharya, who was Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods, he was delivered by Lord Chaitanya and became a devotee. So here we're seeing how he's participating with Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya, just as he's remembering the pastimes of Krishna, where he goes on Rath Yatra, for him, Rath Yatra, when he sees Jagannath, he sees Krishna. When he's pulling the Rath car, he's pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan, back to Radharani. He's living that pastime. He's completely into it. Then by hearing about Lord Chaitanya, hearing about Krishna, even if we get a drop of that realization, a little bit of a flavor, you see, that flavor is not different than being there. Maybe the quantity may be different depending on a person's spiritual development. But that's not necessarily even different. The gopis, when Krishna was not physically present, when not visibly present, he was an uppercut. He was not in unmanifested form. Just by their mood, but they would discuss Krishna. And by discussing Krishna, they'd feel satisfied. They'd feel separate. They would relive all the different pastimes. Krishna used to walk like this. He used to smile like this. He used to stand like this with his hand on Balaram's shoulder. You can remember how he used to call out the different cows by their names. And he'd walk, and they just discuss about Krishna, this Krishna, that, and Uddhava went to tell them that they should not be sorry that Krishna would be coming soon, and he was going to give them so many philosophical advices. And he went there and he saw that they're completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. They're totally with Krishna at every moment. Radharani starts talking to the bumblebee, are you the messenger of Krishna, and going through so many ecstasies. 1 minute elated, 1 minute in separation and frustrated, 1 minute chastising, next minute remorseful. He's completely bilah, love of Krishna in total ecstasy, to the point of almost mad in love for Krishna. Uddhava actually prays that if I could become a grass, a blade of grass in Vrindavan, and the gopis would then walk on me, that would be the highest benediction I could aspire for, just to have the dust of their lotus feet on my head. Krishna said, Uddhava, to teach the gopis. See that Krishna's trick. He goes there, he gets taught by the gopis. He becomes totally converted. He becomes a gopi dasanudas after that. So, the gopis, the residents of Vrindavan, they're with Krishna always, but in the form of bhava, by remembering Krishna, by glorifying Krishna, by chanting his name. So Lord Chaitanya taught that we can also associate with Krishna, we can remember Krishna. How easiest way is chanting his name. Jai Radha Madhava, Hare Krishna, Hari Harai Namo Krishna. Every name is filled with the rasa, filled with the nectar of Krishna, his qualities, his pastimes, his form. Simply by chanting the name, one can experience these nectarian pastimes and qualities of Krishna. So, here the pastimes of Lord Jagannath and Jagannath Puri, experienced by Lord Chaitanya, these are the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. This is the basic understanding here Prabhupada is giving. Not that Lord Chaitanya did anything concocted or like a Gauranga Nagaris, but he was enjoying the ecstasy by remembering Krishna's pastimes and being in that mood, the service attitude to how I'll be the assistant of Radharani, that now we have brought Krishna back to Radharani, we have taken him from Dwaraka and brought him back to Vrindavan, and this mood Krishna was, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very happy. Vrikha bali prafulito prabhu darsane bringa piko gai bohe sitala pavane There were multifarious trees and creepers in the garden, and they were all jubilant to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indeed, the birds were chirping, the bees were buzzing, and a cool breeze was blowing. Prati vrikotole prabhu korena nartan vasudeva dato mato korena gaya. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced beneath each and every tree, Vasudeva Dutta sang alone. Ek ek brika tole ek ek gana gai parama vishye kana che gaurarai. As Vasudeva Dutta sang a different song beneath each and every tree, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced there alone in great ecstasy. Tare vakrishara prabhu kohila nachite prakrishara nache prabhu lagi lagaite. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then ordered Vakrishara Pandit to dance. And as he began to dance, the Lord began to sing. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Daita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki
Jaya.
Nila Chola Gundicha Lila ki
Jaya.
Any questions? Was it because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fell in Maya, so then Lord Chaitanya went to deliver him, or was it that he was orchestrated to become like that so Lord Chaitanya could manifest his destiny? There's a limit to our ability to understand. But generally they say that actually he fell into Maya by bad association. So whatever it may be, the lesson is there to be taught. We shouldn't associate with Mayavadis. If we associate with Mayavadis, if someone like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, by associating with Mayavadis when he was Brihaspati, he could be misled. What to speak of us? The Mayavadis still their lessons with Krishna, offenses to Krishna, and by hearing these offenses, this stunts our spiritual growth or destroys our devotional creeper. And then that makes it easier for them to give us the poison of impersonal thought and philosophy. Actually, we shouldn't listen to impersonal philosophers. Any other questions? Why did Lord Chaitanya lie on top of a dvaita on the water? Why does it say that Lord Chaitanya reenacted the Seshashayi pastime? What is the Seshashayi pastime? And why does it say reenacted? And what does the dvaita Goswami have to do with it? How many can answer that? How many can't answer that? And why didn't we send a question? Nobody asked any question. What does Mahavishnu do? What is the Sesha Shai? Sai means to lie down. Like Sajja means bed. Sai, Sesha Shai means the pastime of lying down on Sesha, or the snake. The snake curls around into a big coil, and like a big, those air mattresses they float on. By mystic power, he becomes light, he just floats on the water, and then on that, like floating, everyone in the West, people love to go on the weekends and go on the air mattress and float in the water. It's all perverted reflection. Krishna also likes to float on the water, but he uses a snake mattress. He lays on an amputation. He enjoys the same thing. You want to relax, so you go and just lie on the water, and you're just floating in the waves, and I can move a little bit. It's very relaxing. So sometimes Krishna wants to enjoy like that. The Seshanag, he coils up into a big, like a big inner tube. Just like they have those little, in that inner tube, they have the lines. He has the lines like that, but it's very soft. And he's just floating, and then he lies on that, and he's floating there in the water. Relaxing. And Yoga Nidra, then he dreams. And in his dreams are the whole material world. But if you go on the water, and then I said, I go and sit on you, and then you make it float, it's not going to be so easy. Lord Chaitanya said, that meant that Advaita had to manifest his spiritual, that potency as in to just make himself light, so he could be like the Sesha, but he's so buoyant. The Lord Chaitanya sits on top of him, he still lies on him, he's still floating on top of the water. Advaita Gosai ki, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, he's like,